to call the meeting to order. And Chair Mariani is at the testifier table today with the amended omnibus bill. Chair Mariani.
Thank you, and good morning, members. And sorry for the late start. We had a little bit of a late over in the Finance Committee. So the intent today will be to go through the Chair's D1 amendment. We're going to be working off of this language throughout the rest of this week as we construct a, I don't know, Representative Erickson, if it's a tiny or a little or, you know, omnibus bill.
Madam Chair and Representative Mariani, I know what it's like to be a chair.
Gosh.
I mean, you might see something at the beginning and in the end it's totally different.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
Of course, you know, you're doing your job.
Thank
very well.
Thank you, Representative Erickson.
Representative Mariani.
And so so this has been posted. Well, you now have hard copies. We will, I'll check back a little bit later with Peter around what we could expect for, you know, a cutoff for amendments, but I think we have a healthy amount of time for members to be able to construct that and act on those this week yet. So with that, Madam Chair, I'm going to move House File 2397. And the motion will be to refer it to the Education Finance, but obviously we'll be laying it over at the end of this meeting.
Very well. Representative Mariani has moved House File 2397, and please go ahead and speak to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I will move the, and I'm going to ask Ms. Larson for help, make sure I'm doing this right. I read LL 140. We keep calling it the DE1. Is that the correct? I'm working off of a draft, obviously. I don't have the. So Madam Chair, I will move the DE1 amendment.
Okay. Representative Mariani has moved the DE1 amendment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. The bill is now in the shape you'd like it to be in, and let's take a good look.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I may call on folks who might be present in the audience to help with particular sections if there are questions. The idea here, however, is that there should be nothing major in the DE1 amendment that we haven't seen as a committee or we've had conversations about. So let me start. So Article 1 of the DE1 amendment is basically put together with the ELL bill that I had presented last week, along with Representative Norton's bill having to do with the seals of biliteracy, multiliteracy competency. And there are some statewide accountability provisions that were they were in the ELL bill. So let me just walk through very quickly. And I'm not working off of D1, so I hope my pages line up. I just realized that, but I'll refer to sections. So, excuse me. So Section 1 is part of the English Language Learner bill, and that one speaks to early childhood literacy program expectations. Section 2 is the part of the Norton, Representative Norton Foreign Language and Culture Proficiency Certificates. On subdivision 1B to Section 2, we did some small tweaking of language. And I want to make sure this is a good way to track. Line 4.16, does that match up with the D1? Okay, I'm going to ask Lisa Larson to help me then whenever I reference that. So I'm looking at the language that offers a more flexibility in terms of the proficiency test. And I believe that's on line 4.14 in the D1. Is that correct?
Ms. Larson.
Mr. Chairman, members, there are two small changes in this language. You might be referring to 4.21. Originally, in Representative Norton's bill, there was a requirement that the department not charge a school district or charter school for the exam. Is that...
Representative Mariani.
And members, but I'm, so there's a couple of changes, yeah. I might have to double check. I apologize, members. I worked off of the draft and didn't work off of the DE one, but I'll catch up. So subdivision 1B, we use the word either. So a test that's either the Foreign Service Language Proficiency test or an equivalent valid and reliable assessment. We then move on to G in the same subdivision, where we have language at no more than actual cost, and that is an attempt to answer some of the department's you know, concerns about cost relative to these tests. Section 3 is the world's best workforce provision of the ELL bill. If you recall, members, Chairman Marquardt had some concerns about loading up that language, and so we backed off of the kind of the more explicit, prescriptive rather, language we had there, and basically just identified all linguistic groups of students to the existing language of all racial and ethnic groups of students. I will continue. Section 4 is the Regional Centers of Excellence, and that's related to the ELL bill. Section 5 is also part of the ELL bill. And I know I'm moving fast, but it's a little bill, sort of. It's a big bill. And again, I'll stop at any point members want, but I'm going over provisions that we've already gone over. Section 5 is also connected to the ELL bill, as are Section 7, Section 8, 9, 10, and no changes, I think, no changes to any of this language, Section 11, Section 12, Section 13, 14, 15, and 16, Section 17 ELL bill, Section 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, I will slow down eventually, 25, 26, a good chunk of this Article 1 is the ELL bill, Section 27, 28, 29, 30, 31.
Representative Mariani, Ms. Larson's giving me a little clue here that it goes through Section 40.
Oh.
39.
Then I'm going to jump ahead.
Yes, the ELL bill is up to that.
I was looking for my first marker and I didn't mark it. Well, Section 43, is that what it is?
39, I believe.
39, very well.
I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Larson. Section 40 is referring back to the Norton bill.
Very well. So that's where we depart from the ELL bill, Section 40. And we did, and Ms. Larson can help me here, I think, that we did do some tweaking here of the language. The idea here was that we're not approaching with a very heavy hand in terms of having systems communicate and work with one another, and so we identify the MINSCU university system and K-12 and Commissioner of Education in terms of working together to review the competencies related to the state bilingual multilingual seal. That sound correct, Ms. Larson?
Ms. Larson?
Mr. Chairman, members, yes. The language is just slightly changed from when you saw it when Representative Norton presented House File 2004. The direction includes now the Commissioner of Education, so it will be the Commissioner of Education and the MNSCU Chancellor who are charged with reviewing specific competencies. And both the Commissioner and the MNSCU Chancellor are directed to consult with world language faculty at the University of Minnesota. The university has constitutional autonomy, so at best we can request things from them, but in this case, there's a direction to the Commissioner and the Chancellor to consult with the University of Minnesota world language faculty as well as other faculty in reviewing the specific competencies for the state bilingual or multilingual seal.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Representative Mariani?
And Madam Chair, Ms. Larson, I don't have notes on Section 41. There's a repealer there.
Ms. Larson.
Mr. Chairman, members, I seem to recall a direction to remove that repealer. It's teacher residency programs.
Oh, yes. Okay. So that's not in the DE1.
Representative Mariani.
Correct. Thank you. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I should go through the chair. I apologize.
I accept.
Madam Chair, then we're into Article 2, which we titled General Education. And the first section is an MD provision. So we'll see a lot of MD provisions here. If there are questions. The department is here. We did do a walkthrough, as you recall, on Friday, at least what was left of the room. on Friday of the department's bill, so it's certainly appropriate for members to slow down and say, hey, what is this, and we can bring the department down to answer those questions. So Section 1 has to do with Head Start transportation programs in the department. Section 2 has to do with foster care issues, again for the department. And then in Section 3, where Representative Benson's bill having to do with innovative delivery of education services. This is a statute that was created and implemented when Representative Erickson was chair of this committee. There is an appropriations, by the way, members, connected to that. We did send that bill forward, so Ed Finance has it before it, along with the appropriation. We don't have the appropriation language here. Section 4 is the effective date related to that. So, members, that's Article 2. And then Article 3 gets us into education excellence. We title it. And we start off with Section 1, which is an MD provision having to do with remedial reporting on remediation instruction. I think we generally, as a committee, thought that it was really important for us to have reporting on remedial instruction as students move out of our post or secondary to post-secondary, and the department seems to agree. So then Section 2.
Representative Mariani, excuse me, but Ms. Larson would like to call our attention to something here.
Very well.
Mr. Chairman, members, my apologies. I made a terrible mistake. I got a direction to remove the teacher residency repealer, but inadvertently I repealed the wrong thing. I repealed the repealer in one, which should be included in the bill, and I neglected to repeal the repealer in Article 3 that should not be in the bill. It's my mistake. Because what I've repealed is a repealer having to do with a prohibition on ESL teachers replacing other teachers, which is very it's integral to the EL bill. And it's my mistake. It shouldn't have happened. So please know that at the end of Article 1, the repealer that was in Representative Mariani's bill should be in here, and it was my mistake.
Well, thank you, Ms. Larson, and I'm sure we'll see that corrected as we move forward. And I'll just say that I'm amazed that you keep track of every other detail that is in these hundreds of pages. So I'm sure we can all find it in our hearts to forgive you for that.
All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Ms. Larson. That's why we go through the processes we go through and make sure there's plenty, you know, we try to maximize the short time that we're handed, and we have lots of eyes on things. And by the way, members, that's an important repealer. We can come back and talk about that. That's you know, current language that it's inexplicable to me and anyone I've spoken to, and apparently it's been sitting for a long, long time, which basically bars a bilingual licensed instructor from replacing any other instructor. And I honestly don't know where that came from. Or I think it's been sitting there a long time. So it makes no sense in terms of lining up professional skills and talents with the student body that we have. So Madam Chair, I'll bring in an amendment to make those.
Very well. Thank you, Representative Mariani.
So, Madam Chair, Section 2 of Article 3 is also a department provision. And this one, members, a little bit of conversation with the department. It has to do with the cycle for review and revision of the academic standards. And I was a little bit uncomfortable, and I think perhaps you were as well, in terms of perhaps too much discretion on the part of the, for us to allow too much discretion on the part of the commissioner in terms of making those revisions once, you know, they've been reviewed. And so we got rid of the discretion, and we could talk more about this, and basically, you know, we're saying, look, if you're going to do a review, and if the review body suggests that we should revise it, then you should revise it. Section 3 is Representative Brainerd's Career and Tech College provisions. And members, this is really important stuff, I think, in many ways, but one, because it really talks about applied experiential learning. And you're going to see this language repeatedly throughout Representative Brainerd's bill, where we're doing a focus on pushing forward an instructional environment in our state that includes applied and experiential learning. I hope I said that right, Representative Brainerd.
Yes, thank you, Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, Section 4 is also the Brainerd, for the Brainerd language, having to do with performance measures. Section 5 is from the Brainerd language. Again, including applied experiential learning as part of the assistance that regional centers can provide, regional centers of excellence can provide school districts. Section 6 is Brainerd's bill as well, having to do with personal learning plans. Section 7 is statewide testing and accountability. And the language change jumps forward a few pages to, Section 1, Sub D, where we align instruction and assessments for English language learners. So this is part of the ELL bill, and we carried it over, we pulled it out of the Article 1 and put it into Article 3 to align with the statewide testing provisions. Then we jump forward a few pages to section, actually we're still in the same section. We add a definition, and this is from Representative Brainerd's bill, a definition for career and college readiness. And then immediately after that, we also do a definition related to the ELL bill around the terms cultural competency, and culturally competent, which are embedded in the ELL bill. Section 8 is reporting measures of student growth, and this is related to the also to the ELL bill, where we have the commissioner reporting measures of student growth, including those of English language, including all the English language development, academic progress, and oral academic development of English language learners. Section 9. Looks like it's from the department. Oh, yes. We had quite a bit of conversation about this recently. It has to do, the department wanted to drop the annual report of the organization on curricular practices being demonstrated by medium and high-growth schools. I think we got in our conversation that sometimes you can report like a whole lot of stuff and it becomes meaningless. It's kind of counterintuitive, but I think the department made a very compelling argument that the report is just almost too big to be abused. What the chair decided to do on this is to back off of the reporting on the organization and curricular practices, but keep an annual report on best practices, but limit that to high growth schools and not medium growth schools. And obviously we'll have a conversation with the department on whether that works or not, but I got the sense from the committee that there was some work around this kind of a report. And so instead of dropping the report entirely, really just, you know, narrowing it down to best practices of high growth schools. Section 10 is from Representative Yaruso's MTLE bill. And members, Representative Yaruso will be bringing in an amendment to that when we're amending, but this is the bill as it was presented last week. So we're going to jump forward a few pages. Section 11 continues the MTLE language in Representative Yaruso's bill, as does Section 12. Although Section 12 also involves a provision from a bill that I had that we talked about briefly on Friday, and you'll find the language. Oh, God, this is hard to identify, but it is Subdivision 2, B2. And this has to do, members, with the discussion around matching up out-of-state teacher licensures. The framework in some other states is that they have a broader band of middle schools. So, and Representative Wills, I think you asked a question about this, you know, whether, you know, my intent was to match up everything. And my intent was basically just to capture that middle school where there's a miss, there isn't an overlap with some other states. We have a one-year identification. Other states will have a two-year, so we'll miss out on that fifth grade for out-of-state licensures. Everything else holds the same. We still hold all the standards relative to that. So this will allow for school districts to then and our state to have the flexibility to do apples to apples with other states in this regard. The Section 13, Representative Mason presented a bill. Retired teachers being able to be behind the wheel instructors, so we included that. And Representative Wills, we did come up with language for the header on this. So you had asked a question about this, because the header, even though it doesn't have the force of law, wasn't really, you know, descriptive of what was going on. So I think we've come up with, you know, much better descriptive language about this. Section 14 is Representative Greinert's bill, and this one speaks to staff development provisions, and it's to provide opportunities for staff to learn about current workforce trends. Section 13 is also from Representative Greinert's bill, as is Section 16, where we see the academic and applied and experiential learning language repeated as well, related to staff development. Section 17 is Representative Faust's bill on Board of Teaching reporting on determinations of maltreatment. Section 18 is from the department, and this relates to open enrollment provisions, where we currently require a meeting that apparently no one's doing across the state, parents and students exercise their right to do this. Section 19 is from the department, and this has to do with transfer for integration purposes. And I'm going to slow down here and ask Ms. Larson, because again, I'm not working off of DE1. So this is Section 19, and the department brought it in, basically updating the name of our integration revenue program, which is the Achievement and Integration Revenue Program. But Ms. Larson, I'm just wondering if I did something else to that. Okay, so I may well bring an amendment having to do with a cross-reference with existing rulemaking authority that the department has relative to integration, our integration rule. So just a heads up. And then we have Section 20, which is also from the department, has to do with how we handle transfers of students for under the integration purpose, and the district required to notify parents within a certain period of time. Section 21 relates to open enrollment, as does Section 22 from the department as well. Section 23, members, you might recall Representative John Ward's PSEO bill that has to do with veterans and making sure that we create, full access to veterans wanting to access PSEO slots. Section 24 is from the department having to do with charter schools, and it defines, has to do with defining the charter purpose to be learning opportunities for all students. Section 25 is from my bill related to charter schools, and this has to do with clarifying single purpose authorizers. We heard this bill, and we heard a testifier about the unintended consequences of previous changes that basically made an existing authorizer of three very good schools, not able to be an authorizer in our state. So that, just very specific to them, and make sure that we don't lose that authorizer and by extension those schools. Section 26, and you'll begin to see here, members, a number of provisions related to a Representative Slocum bill around charter schools. I don't know if Mr. Piccolo is in the audience or not, but he can certainly answer questions related to that. There have been some changes in this as a number of members on both sides of the aisle kind of pushed a little bit on the author and the MAC schools in terms of particularly questions around financial reporting and audits, and so there are some changes in language here. When we dive in deeper, we can certainly bring in the author, the department, as well as the MAX organization to explain what those are. So that section, that begins in section 26, and I'm probably going to do what I did earlier with, section 20. So for a number of pages, we're basically running through charter school changes either brought in by Representative Slocum or the Department of Education. That's Section 27, Section 28, Section 29. And again, there are some small edits here, but we'll circle back to those. Then we get into Section 30, and members, you might recall one of the very first bills we heard was the Representative Mary Murphy bill having to do with enrollment preferences, and this has to do with a charter school up on the North Shore, and so this language would create a exemption to our enrollment preferences. I do want to, in full disclosure, share that we did hear testimony that this language might cast the net a little bit broader than just that particular school. And so I want committee members to be fully aware of that and to, respond accordingly. But right now it's in the author's D1 amendment or in the bill. Next section, 31, is also from Slocum Charter School, as are Section 32, 33, 34 is from the Department of Education related to career and technical revenue. No changes there. Section 35, also from the department.
Representative Mariani, yes. I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment. We had some guests enter here, and I just want to explain to them that the committee doesn't usually proceed in this sort of monotonous a manner, I'd say. But we have a large bill before us that's what we call an omnibus bill that brings together a whole range of other bills we've heard up to now. And so the Chair Mariani, who normally sits in this seat, is presenting his delete all amendment of that bill, and we're going through each section, so we're not really discussing or raising issues or questions. So I just wanted to explain to you what was happening so it wouldn't be too you know, that you wouldn't, you, that you would think that every day was like this. We do have a little more variety and interest in our dialogue here. So, and now I got the sheet here from the State Capitol Historic Site to introduce 12th graders from Convent of the Visitation, Mendota, Minnesota. So welcome to you. Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's probably the most excitement we've had in the last 20 minutes. So. You all go to a very good school. I've had friends that have attended that school and send their kids or young adults to that school, and you're very fortunate. Yeah. Good to have you here.
So we'll proceed, and if you have questions later, you could stop any member to ask about our discussion, or lack thereof. Chair Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Section 37 is Representative Dabney's adult diploma provision bill, and we heard good testimony on that. There was a task force, if you all, as you all recall, that came in with, I think, some really exciting proposals that I think has some purpose even beyond diplomas being granted to adults. It can really complements very nicely, I think, the direction that we've been pushing in terms of enhancing opportunities for learners in our secondary systems. So that's Section 37 as well as Section 38. Section 39 is we return to Representative Binder's bill, and this provision involves the P20 Council. Section 40 is Representative Detmer's bill. This has to do with the state high school lease and individualized education program and 504 plans to allow for transfers of students with those plans for purposes of a reasonable or to reducing barriers to educational access that will then allow them to continue to compete.
Okay. Representative Mariani, yes. Ms. Larson, I think, has a correction here in the sequence. You're off by one section somehow.
Oh, I am. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
You're aware of that, Ms. Larson? Pardon? If you understand where you're off, if you want to explain that, or you want Ms. Larson to speak up?
All right. Far better explaining anything than I am. So.
Mr. Chairman, members, not in the draft that Representative Mariani is using, but in the DE1, on page 99, section 39, there is an amendment to an existing section of law that clarifies the intent of that law. It was enacted quite a long time ago. If you see on 99.29, what's stricken there is a January 10th, 1999 date. And it's being updated to refer to the Achievement and Integration in Minnesota program. That's not in the draft that Representative Mariani has.
So then the P20 partnership language is Section 40.
Very well. And members, I do apologize. I did my preparation off of the draft, and it's kind of a function of the speed at which we're moving. So I was just finishing up Representative Detmer's bill that we folded into this. And members, I don't think that bill is moving in the Senate, so this may be the only crack that we'll get at this issue. The next section is Representative Isaacson's career and tech education provisions. We then move into the following section, Representative Erdahl's student teacher pilot program. This is a concept Representative Erdahl has come forward in terms of extending the period of time in which student teachers can be student teachers who are teacher candidates. And then the following section is also related to that as well. Ms. Larson, can you give me the name of the section for Representative Norton's physical ed?
Ms.
What
Larson?
Number? The number?
2672.
I'm sorry, the section number on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, it's section 45 in the DE1.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam
Representative
Chair.
Representative Mariani.
So section 45 is Representative Norton's physical education bill. We heard good testimony about that, particularly from practitioner in Farmington. who spoke at the very end, and it was really too bad that we didn't get them in earlier, because I think they're doing some really exciting work, you know, as we've become cognizant of the importance of physical structure, physical movement related to cognitive learning development.
So, Representative Mariani, if I'm remembering correctly, when Representative Garofalo chaired this committee, the gentleman from Farmington conducted a little jogging exercise, I think, in the center of the our testifying area here, and he has a high level of enthusiasm about his discipline. So I was happy that he was able to join us again. Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, maybe we'll repeat that exercise on Thursday or something. Madam Chair, members, Section 46 is a small bill from Representative Seltzer. This relates to the Alternative Teacher Professional Pay System and Teacher Eval Program, otherwise known as QCOP. This is not a major QCOP provision. As you recall, members, we pushed out both Representative Erickson and Representative Reinert's bill into finance. This is a modest, small bill that basically sets up a vetting process for what to do with QCOP out into the future. Could be handy, members, particularly of either Representative Reinert's bill or Representative Erickson's bill. Actually, it might be handy either way in terms of, because I don't think it was the intent of either of those authors to do a deep dive into kind of deconstructing QCOP and redesigning it as much as, you know, either, you know, borrowing off of it or doing some major adjustments to one particular piece. Representative Reinert.
I agree with you, Representative Mariani, that there is room for much more detailed, research-based examination of the relationship between teacher development and evaluation and QCOMP. So I think it's well positioned here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Mariani.
Section 47 is part of Representative Urso's MTLE bill, and as I mentioned, members, she'll be bringing in an amendment this week to come at this a little bit differently. Then we're in Article 4. And Article 4 are special programs, and quite frankly, members, there's a lot of pages here, but, you know, it's basically two or three bills. Representative Sawatsky had a couple of bills, as did Representative Dabney, related to prone restraint procedures. And so there were no changes on either or any of those three bills. There were also some department provisions that have been folded in related to special education. And I'm going to ask for a second just to pause and ask Ms. Larson to help me out here a little bit.
Ms. Larson? Do you know what help Representative Mariani is seeking?
I believe the numbers are okay here. Section 7, individualized education programs. We did add some language, kind of four pages into that long language, and perhaps you can describe that.
Ms. Larson.
Mr. Chairman, members, the language that you see here is the language that represents the engrossment after Representative Sawatsky's bill passed out of Civil Law Committee. But in the Civil Law Committee, there was some discussion about maintaining a data audit trail, which was not in the amendment that the Civil Law Committee adopted. However, I spoke with the committee counsel, and he recommended some language about the audit trail in the context of Representative Sawatsky's bill. So if you were to look on page 115, lines 2 to 7, that language represents the recommended language about establishing an audit trail for this online system.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. Representative Mariani.
And Madam Chair, I think that's the only new, quote-unquote, thing that's in the special education sections. As I mentioned, we do have Representative Dabney's standards for restrictive procedures, and then a number of provisions that that the department brought in. And I think that takes us pretty much to Article 4 then. We do have another Sawatsky, Representative Sawatsky provision toward the end of that. No changes to that. I'm trying to catch up here quickly, members. And then Article 5 is titled Nutrition, and these are MD recommendations, Section 1, Section 2. Article 6 is Childhood Education, Self-Sufficiency, and Lifelong Learning. Again, these are department provisions in Sections 1, 2, and 3. And then we have a libraries provision in Article 7, which I think involves some controversy, so I suspect when we get into deep diving with amendments, we'll have a long conversation around library provisions. These are all, by the way, members, department recommendations. So with that, Madam Chair, that's a walkthrough of the tiny D1 amendment. Again, the intent here is for members to have a good fair amount of time to be able to think these through, absorb it, and then bring in amendments. And Madam Chair, I'm going to ask my committee administrator just to inform the committee on around timelines for offering amendments.
So, Mr. Chair, we'll vote on the DE1 amendment? Adopt it? We have not. We moved it, but we didn't adopt it, did we?
Give it a 10-10.
Huh? Oh, okay, according to...
Yeah, Madam Chair, we did. Yeah.
Yes, all right, then we have adopted it. I'm sorry. I apologize. Then go ahead with the timelines.
And then, as advised last night, 4 p.m. on Wednesday is the current deadline for amendments for the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Grastrom. Are there any questions about process or timelines, or Representative Erdahl?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wondering what the rest of the timeline is. Are we meeting Wednesday night then, Thursday, Friday? When will we vote on this?
Mr. Grastrom, you have the...
As we've had discussions with the chair, we would vote on amendments Thursday, Thursday evening probably. Wednesday is highly unlikely for a hearing. It will probably depend on the amount of amendments to get through if we come back on Wednesday night.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, just again, to be clear, at this point we do have Wednesday scheduled for a hearing, and so certainly proceed with that understanding, but we most likely will not meet on Wednesday, and I think that will be a function of the the amendments. I think it's important for both parties to be able to review amendments carefully, and so because we do want to make sure there's plenty of time for amendments to come in. We may well have a bunch of amendments an hour or two beforehand that doesn't really give us time to look at that. So I think probably highly unlikely we'll meet on Wednesday, but possible. Certainly Thursday, it will be, it is my intent that we finish on Thursday, which means very likely we'll be meeting into Thursday night. We do have Friday also as a possibility. You should mark your calendar for Friday. We will, if we are finished on Thursday, there are some other bill possibilities that I'll be pulling up on Friday.
Very well. Thank you, Representative Mariani. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Public testimony, Mr. Chair. Where does that fit in, Madam Chair, Mr. Grastrom?
Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, members, public testimony is fine. I think we may have amendments coming in on bills that are not folded in, and that might beg some more vetting so we fully understand them. I would only ask members to be mindful that the goal is to get the bill done on Thursday night, and so testimony is welcome, but certainly not lengthy testimony.
Representative Morgan.
I guess, thank you, Madam Chair. My question, I guess, about the order. Will we be doing amendments before the public testimony, or will we be doing public testimony before the amendments? Is there?
Okay, Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, the intent will be to go through amendments and have testimony related to amendments, and then as we finish our amendments, we can certainly entertain public testimony on the overall bill before us.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, clarifications? Representative Mariani, anything else at this point?
Madam Chair, I had hoped that we would have actually had a physically smaller bill because we're a special session, but, you know, I will never apologize for being a people's representative, and that's what we're here for, and, you know, the people speak through us from different perspectives, and we construct legislation accordingly. And so I think we have a pretty good bill here. I suspect it'll get better over the course of the next couple of days. And I look forward to the work, the debate. Bring good snacks and energy food, because I think maybe we'll do that exercise in the middle just to make sure that we're animated and fully cognitively on when we're voting. So with that, Madam Chair, I would ask the chair to lay the bill over.
If there's no further business, the meeting stands adjourned.